91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour, we visit with Miami's Luther Campbell, who brought controversy to South Florida with his Two Live Crew hip-hop group in the late 1980s and 90s. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. Born and raised in Miami's Liberty City, Campbell began his music and promotion career while working at Mount Sinai Hospital. Two Live Crew was embroiled in arrests and obscenity conflicts, and his Luke Records company won a fair use parody case in the U.S. Supreme Court. Campbell continues to be a factor in South Florida with philanthropy, opinion columns, and high school football coaching. Our interview was recorded in August following the release of his autobiography, The Book of Luke. Stay tuned, Topical Currents up next in a rebroadcast after the news.
Along with Bonnie Berman.
In this hour, we visit with Miami's own Luther Campbell. He was born, ironically, in Miami Beach at Mount Sinai Hospital, but he grew up in the environs of Liberty City. A strong family taught him to rebel against racial barriers, and that he certainly did.
In the late 80s and early 90s, Luther Campbell's Two Live Crew challenged authority far more than any rocker did. His obscenity arrest in Broward County garnered national attention and debate. Later, a copyright use case was won in the U.S. Supreme Court.
Luther Campbell has written it all down in a new book called The Book of Luke, My Fight for Truth, Justice, and Liberty City. And we welcome to our studios.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you aren't far from home.
Well, that's right? I was going to say, you know, what's it like? I know you're doing the book tour and stuff, but here you are, you're a stone's throw from Overtown. You're a few miles from Liberty City, your home. How does it feel to be here doing this?
Oh, it feels great. It feels great. You know, that's what I was telling the publisher and the PR people that's working. I'm like, look, I got to get back home, you know, because, you know, it's great, you know, being in New York and Minnesota and all these different other places promoting the book, but it's more important to be here than there. You know, I can always go there and do the work, but the book is about Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Can you believe Jumbo is closed?
I know, right? I remember being a little kid in the back seat of the car, and my mom would take us to Jumbo's, and she would have to go to that back window to get the food. And it was iconic place.
Well, Luther, you know, talking, you do a lot of history in the book at the beginning, mm-hmm. and throughout, actually, about Overtown, Liberty City. You know, many of us are familiar with it, but many of us aren't. Mm-hmm. So give us a little of that history, would you?
Well, the history of Overtown and the history of Liberty City, like I speak about it in the book. You know, Miami in general, I mean, we open up talking about it was 40% Bahamian African-Americans here in Miami because, you know, the average person, you know, I'm speaking to a crowd at National Black Book Convention in Atlanta, and I'm like, how many people went to Miami? And yeah, we went to Miami. And then I asked the question, how many of you all know that Bahamians built Miami? You know, and it was at one point it was 40% African Americans here, and on the city seal, nobody knew that. Then I would then ask another question, and I would talk about Fisher Island. How many do you all know that right. Fisher Island was African-American owned Fisher Island? Nobody knows that. You know, Darcy, the school is named after Darcy. So it was important in order to talk about my history, but also talk about the history of Miami because it's all twofold. It comes in one big circle. I am who I am because of the history of Miami. And
Darcy was the first black millionaire, of course.
He was the first black millionaire, exactly.
Well, doesn't Oprah still have a place on Fisher Island?
Yeah. And I guarantee you, she don't know Darcy. if she knows that, she would be trying to buy it back.
Well, but tell us a little, you know, about the 95 cutting through Overtown,
yes.
destroying Overtown. Liberty City was segregated. A lot of people don't know that.
Yes, yes. And that is why it was important to add that into the book and talk about that. and talk about, you know, Overtown being an historical black area, you know, is one of the areas, you know, that obviously is still trying to hold a fight even right now today with, you know, with them building the new building in Overtown.
Oh, the big gambling thing.
Exactly.
And the advertising tower.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
right.
That's it.
So it's you know, I talk about Overtown in the sense of Overtown was a place where it was the hotels, it was the entertainment, everything that you had on Miami Beach, you basically had on Overtown. And then when all of the African-American performers would come and perform on Miami Beach, they couldn't stay on Miami Beach because they had to be off the beach after 6 o'clock. And they would then move over to Overtown. And Overtown,
Sir John.
Exactly. It would be this vibrant area. I mean, discovering, you know, top acts like Betty Wright. And then when the gentrification came, you know, and they started bringing people down here to then, okay, take over this area, what ended up happening is they took that I-95 and ran it right through Overtown to kill the African-American community and then move those people who were in Overtown to Liberty City. And when those folks moved to Liberty City, then, and Liberty City, not a lot of people don't know, Liberty City, where my mom and dad live, it was, you know, and I talk about it in the book. It was a predominantly white area. You know, and across the wall, it was Liberty Square Projects. And people don't even know right now. I hear people, you know, make the comment, oh, that's the Pork and Bean Projects. You know, they don't know where that term came from. The term came from, you know, the whites on the other side of the wall. They said the only thing they could afford in those government houses is pork and bean. So they named it Pork and Bean. So I always try to correct people who don't know the history and don't know where that name came from. That's Liberty Square Projects.
A remnant of that wall still stands.
It still stands. And same thing as in Coconut Grove as well.
And also your dad, they gave them an opportunity to buy a house, putting down $500, which he had to fight to get.
Yes, yes. You know, and I talk about it in the book where when he went to go give the $500 to put down on the house, at the end of the day, when they saw he was a black guy, I was like, oh, no. They were basically trying to renege on selling him the house, and he had to fight just like every other person in that neighborhood had to fight.
We mentioned at the very beginning you were born at Mount Sinai Hospital. Mm-hmm. I want to know, and because you said most, you know, people were born at Jackson Memorial. Mm-hmm. So, but why did you never ask your mom why were you born at Mount Sinai Hospital?
Let me tell you.
On 63rd Street on the beach.
Exactly.
43rd.
Yeah, 43rd. Yeah. And what is it? Is it still all?
Okay. Oh, yeah, Mount Sinai. I was thinking of the one on 63rd,
Saint
which
Francis.
Is gone.
Yeah. No, Mount Sinai.
Yeah, I never got to ask her why I was born at Mount Sinai. And I always just came up with my own story. I assume she was over there working, and at the end of the day, it had to come. She had to go right in, and she probably had me before 6 o'clock. And then my other theory was, I was an experiment. You know, bring some of these folks over here so, you know, we could train some doctors at Mount Sinai. So I always thought I was like the University of Miami to Jackson Memorial Hospital right now, where they practice the
experiments,
or the Miami doctors on the other folk, the people without insurance.
Your early ambition was to play in the NFL, and you started to approach that goal in Miami Beach. Tell us about that.
Back then, there was no organized football in Liberty City. So, you know, me being a real talented, you know, guy, and some of the other kids in my neighborhood being very talented, you know, their range, you know, Norah Optimus and Ida Fisher Junior High, they arranged for a bus to come to my back door to pick me up, me and my other friends. So they would then take us over to the beach to play organized football. You know, I played with, you name it, Howie Shapiro. What's the big lawyer? His son played on the team. It'll come to me.
Okay.
But we were bused over there to be able to play organized football. And I always said, hey, look, you know, if I ever make any money in my lifetime, I would then start a youth program, which I did, Liberty City Optimist, in my neighborhood, so kids would not have to go all the way to the beach and then come back home at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and then just get passed along. I was being passed along in school because, you know, they just basically wanted the black kids to come over there and, you know, play football and not necessarily worried about the education. So I knew that, you know, by being in school, you know, after I got kind of wise and I got kicked out of class one day and I was walking down the hall, so I just took a peep on the other side of the hall. And I talk about this in the book. Well, the classroom, we were segregated, but then the classroom was, it was like on this side of the hall, all white kids. And then on our side of the hall was all black kids and Hispanic kids. And I was like, man. And then I used to think about it, like we was talking about in the book, that my, you know, my teachers were just like, you know, like the reject teacher, you know, teachers who would be going to, like, right in the middle of class, oh, I'm going to the dog track, or I got a date outside.
So you realized you weren't being taught, you were just being used for your athletic.
Exactly. I realized I wasn't being taught, but then I stopped playing football because I said I'm not going to be used in this way. And, you know, unfortunately, I had this great teacher, young lady named Miss Burke. And she took a liking to me, and I said, look, Ms. Burke, I'm in the 10th grade right now. I can't pretty much read, less long as write. You know, I've been here just playing football, and that lady taught me how to read, taught me how to write. You know, I already know how to count.
Right.
I know how to count because of the dice games that I was having in the back.
Hustling, but
exactly. But I needed to know how to read, and I needed to know how to write.
We're speaking with Luther Campbell. He's a mentor, philanthropist, football coach. He's a columnist for the Miami New Times. And, of course, you probably know him from Two Live Crew, whose music was at the center of a landmark Supreme Court decision.
Former public enemy number one.
He mentors in Liberty City, coaches with his Liberty City Optimist program. And he's written the Book of Luke, My Fight for Truth, Justice, and Liberty City. A short break. We'll be right back. And we hope you're enjoying this rebroadcast of our August chat with Luther Campbell here on Topical Currents on 91.3 WLRN. We sure hope you're enjoying it enough to make this our last day of fall fundraising. We'd like to end this drive one day early. We can do it with your support. If you're enjoying this interview, if you tune into Topical Currents every day, hey, let's hear from you. Pledge $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you can afford. 866-247-9576. 866-247-WLRN. Online, it's WLRN.org. Bonnie Berman with Peter J.
And great to be here, Bonnie. And it's so much fun. Luther Campbell is just so much fun to listen to. You know, who knew that this guy, you know, that was, as Joe just said, public enemy number one. We thought he was a bad guy. And, you know, just responsible for just wrecking the morals of this country. How many times have we seen this sort of thing over the decades and centuries here in this country? And as usual, when you hear somebody interviewed on public radio, you get much more insight into the nuances and the complexities of their personalities, their motivations, and, you know, what it is they hope to accomplish. And you and Joe have been doing this for a long time, Bonnie, and it's a great service here in South Florida. I'm not going to make you blush here, but I'm talking to you listening right now. You know, we know that you appreciate local programming. Oftentimes, I'm the program director here, and I look at my audience data, and I see frequently Topical Currents is the number one program on middays here at WLRN. So we know there's a tremendous amount of interest. There's a lot of loyalty when it comes to Topical Currents. Right now, we want you to show your loyalty for this program with a little bit of monetary support. Bonnie just mentioned we'd love to end this drive today. We've got some serious work to do that. $133,000 remaining. We can do it. We've done it in the past, but it's going to require an absolute focus on your part right now. So if you have any desire to support Topical Currents and this station, now is the time. At 866-247-9576. 76 866-247-WLRN or online at WLRN.org.
Now, I can tell you, because Joe and I usually read all the books that we present to you, and this book was really a page-turner. It's called The Book of Luke, My Fight for Truth, Justice, and Liberty City by Luther Campbell. And we would love for you to pick up a copy of it for your pledge of $120 or more, or $10 a month on our sustainer plan. It's well worth it. He is not the persona that he projected all those years, I can tell you. And when he left the studio, he had I don't know how many people waiting downstairs to take pictures with him, get his autograph, get the book. So please, if you're interested in reading the book and reading about the real Luther Campbell, it is quite eye-opening. $120 pledge, $10 a month. Can you manage that? Well, we'd love to give you the book, 866-247-9576. If you'd like to pick that up online, it's WLRN.org.
And we'd like to invite you to have lunch with Bonnie and Joseph Cooper, and also watch Topical Currents taking place live here in our studio. I think you'd find it quite interesting to see what goes on behind the scenes here. All the dancing on the tabletops during breaks in the program.
Yes.
It's really something. But really, it's a lot of fun. You have lunch right here in the studios with Joe and Bonnie. Watch from the control room, or actually from the studio if we have room in here that day. That is for a pledge of $250. And there's no limit to this, so we could have quite a crowd in here, Bonnie.
We have.
But, so this is really absolutely a unique experience. So take advantage of that. Grab some lunch with Joe and Bonnie and watch how the sausage gets made here at WLRN. 866-247-9576. 866-247-WLRN, and choose your lunch with Topical Currents as your thank you gift. Or do that online at WLRN.org.
I'm not so sure I like the comparison with the sausage. Okay. No, because that's not a pretty sight. 866-247-9576.
The seamy underbelly of WLRN.
No, it's fun. It's fun. We have lunch and we chat and we get to know each other, and you get to sit in either in the studio or in the control room. Also, when you make your contribution in whatever amount, you're entered into our grand prize drawing for this membership campaign, which is the 6-night vacation for two in the Aqua Wellness Resort in Nicaragua. The drawing is tonight at 7. So pick up a copy of the book for $120, have lunch with Joe and me for $250, or whatever you can afford. Get entered into the drawing at WLRN.org or calling us at 866-247-9576. We're going back to the interview, so please continue to make your contributions.
FAU Boca Raton presents New Art, featuring the works of 12 artists who won this year's South Florida Cultural Consortium Fellowship, now on display through November 7th. Details at 561-297-2966. Sponsored in part by the Cultural Council of Palm Beach County.
The Big Friendly Giant performs at South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center Saturday, October 24th. You can enjoy the wacky tales of acclaimed children's author Roald Dahl as his characters come to life with giant puppets in a world of magical adventures. Tickets at smdcac.org.
The Bethesda Center for Advanced Robotics and Urologic Care delivers specialized care for patients with urologic diseases, including prostate cancer, kidney cancer, and kidney stones. Using the Da Vinci Xi, Dr. Raymond Levely brings university-level care to Palm Beach County. Robotic-assisted surgery allows patients to enjoy smaller incisions, less blood loss, fewer complications, less pain, and faster recoveries. Learn more at BethesdaWeb.com/advanced robotics.
Okay, we're speaking with Luther Campbell. He has written the Book of Luke, My Fight for Truth, Justice, and Liberty City, and that was Raise the Roof by, I guess, Two Live Crew from 15 years ago?
Nah, that was me. That was my solo album.
Oh, that's your solo album. Yes. See how much I know about that. Okay.
That's my job to, you know,
Fill us in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You were a cook at Mount Sinai Hospital. Now, how did you get to where you wind up being so popular and... How did you get over that?
How did I end up being
You started
popular?
At the DJ.
Yeah, I was my day job was cooking and my night job was DJing. So I was part of the group Ghetto Style DJs, and we would go all around Liberty City DJing, you know, Hollywood DJing, skating rinks, and I was pretty much the businessman of the group as well. So I went and booked the dances. I would go to Alapata Junior High and speak with the principal, Miss Jerkins, at the time, and have conversations with her, negotiate deals with her to be able to rent the cafeteria to have dances. And the same thing I did at Carroll City High. And once I made enough money to get more speakers, then I started DJing at the skating rinks, you know, and then I made more money. I then started bringing down rap groups.
Promoting them.
Promoting rap concerts.
What did you call it? Breaking them?
Yeah.
Breaking them.
In DJing, you would get your records out of a record pool. So I would have all these stacks of records every Saturday, maybe 30 or 40 of them. And I would look for records that I thought my audience would like. And then I would say, I would get on the phone and call that artist and say, I'm going to break your record down here. It's going to be a hit because I'm playing, and once you total it out, from the Thursday to the Sunday, I'm playing before almost 10,000 people on the weekend. So my whole style was breaking records. And I would tell guys, hey, if I break your record, then you got to come do a free show. And unfortunately, one of those groups were Two Live Crew. They came down and do a free show. And unfortunately, one other group that I gave an idea to do a record, they wouldn't do the free show. So then I gave Two Live Crew an idea. I said, I need you to do this song for me. And at the end of the day, they did the song, and then nobody put the record out. And then I said, well, I'll put it out myself. I believe in it because I'm going to break the record. And that's what we did. And unfortunately, we put the record out. And once I put it out, the record companies, it was time to get paid. And I'm sitting there saying, give me my money. And they were like, no, well, you don't know how the record business works. You got to give us another song in order for us to pay you for that last song. I was like, oh, my God, I'm stuck.
So you started your own business.
Record company.
Yeah, I had to give them another record. And then once I gave them another record, it became, man, I kind of like this. This is easy. And so I got with, you know, a couple guys, Fred Hell, Jerry Basson, all these different maneuvered around to find out how distribution works, how marketing and promoting music works. You know, I learned that because I was an intern at 99 Jams. I interned, so I knew how record promoters work as far as getting the records played on the radio, but I did not know how a record got in the store. You know, and at that time, I would be taking the records to the flea market. You know, everybody went to the flea market and get my records sold from that standpoint. And from the flea market, then I learned about this guy, Fred Hill. God bless his soul. He taught me how distribution work, and then I ended up started working with Jerry Basson and them hooking me up with other distributors around the country, and I'm this little record man now distributing all around the world.
But some semantics. What's the difference? Is there a difference between rap and hip-hop?
Hip-hop, the way they defined it, I don't necessarily agree with
it. Your definition.
Yeah, well, hip-hop is everything the guys did in New York. All the rappers in New York consider themselves as hip-hop. Now, when rap came in, was everybody else outside of New York, we classify as being rappers because we were considered to be outside of New York. So, you know, the Fresh Prince, they said that's not hip-hop. You know, you're not Run DMC, you're not Tila Rock, you're not in those historical hip-hop groups that came out of New York. Everything outside of New York was considered as, you're just rap, you're not hip-hop.
And they tried to keep you off stage.
Oh, man. I mean, those stories, those are some wild stories.
You had to fight your way out.
Yeah, we had to fight
our way.
Yeah, literally. I mean, what people don't realize, and that's why I talk about it in the book, you know, the average hip-hop artist, the average person in the music business does not realize the fights. It was almost like it was a racism fight. I mean, we were guys from the South. You know, I created Southern hip hop. And here we're thinking that we can go and perform with everybody. And when we would go do concerts, before you know it, what would end up happening is they would say, oh, you only have 3 minutes. 3 minutes. And that happened like two or three times. And after that, I was like, nah, you know, you guys really don't want us on the show.
Luther, the message I get from your book repeatedly, and I understand it, is that you feel underappreciated, underrecognized, not credited for not only bringing rap to South, but starting Southern hip hop, among other of your innovations, but your fights for freedom of speech, censorship, copyright use laws. Is that why you wrote this book? Do you want us to know you know, this is who you are. This is what you've done. It wasn't just about the obscenity. It wasn't just about
Nick Navarro
being a bad boy. It was a, this is what you've done.
And that is the biggest misunderstanding, misconception of me. People don't know. Number one, you know, I let people say who, you know, define me in whatever way they want to define me. But I always say it, when my career kind of slowed down, I'll go back and start coaching. And then I'll write a book so people could get the real story. I wore the hat of being the cowboy, the black cowboy hat, and not being the bad guy. I wanted people to know, okay, one, this guy really ran a record company, a corporation. He started from the bootstraps and ran a corporation. But number two, he fought for free speech like no other person has ever fought. And people just don't realize that my song was it was the first record ever deemed obscene by a federal judge. And now just let's take that being deemed obscene. That's not me going to jail. You know, if I then said, hey, look, I'm not going to fight this to get this overturned, it would have just been on the record books as case law. Any prosecutor could have used that case law in any trial by taking any record off the shelf that they wanted to take off the shelf. So the Lil Wayne's and all the other rappers, the Drakes of the world, you know, those guys could have been singled out and pointed out at any given time, and they'll go hip-hop, because you would have case law on the book that this is what record is considered obscene. So I had to fight that case and then fight what is parody. You know, and whether parody
is Rose.
The Acuff Rose case. Now, that took me to the Supreme Court, because that was a no-brainer to get the other case overturned to win that. And now I'm going up to the Supreme Court to fight a parody case.
Would you say that you are to, say, urban music what Lenny Bruce was to comedy, as far as your court battles?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And that's why I tell people, you know, people who want to understand this music, the music is over, hip-hop is over 60 years old right now. You got radio stations around the country that are changing formats to just being old-school hip-hop. It was around long before me. So people that are 60 and 65 years old grew up on hip-hop, but a lot of those same people don't know the history and the things that I've done and what we've done here in Miami to pave the way for this music to still be lasting this long. And like I always tell people, I've always considered myself as the Rodney Dangerfield of hip-hop.
I don't get no respect.
I don't get no credit.
But you know what surprised me in your book is that your peers didn't support you when you were going through these battles. The one person that stepped up and let you use his song, in fact,
was Bruce Springsteen.
That was really, I mean, that was pretty surprising.
That is still surprising to so many right now. I mean, I've been doing press on, you name it, urban stations and all hip hop stations. And I'm talking and I tell them, you know, for the ones who read the book, everybody finds that amazing, because the Salt and Peppers back then, the Heavy D's and all these different groups of the world. Again, we were outsiders. And Bruce Springsteen, just like you say, he was the only one, you know, I said, look, I want to do this song, Band in the USA. I know it's Bruce Springsteen's song. So a friend of mine, David Shackler, ended up getting Bruce on the phone because he knew him. And, you know, I talked to him for 5 minutes. Long story short, he was like, look, I understand your fight. And I ended up, was able to use the song, and he didn't even charge me anything. I'm going to let you use it for
every
free.
Event that you staged at that time, you were being pursued by law enforcement. And tell us about the diversions you had to create on stage in order to slip out and not be arrested.
Oh, yeah. That was very funny.
Yeah. And I, those are things that people will never know unless you read a book and hear about. You know, those are some amazing stories, because, you know, some of the diversions, take for instance, we was in Jacksonville one time. And as we went on, every municipality, you know, you had these, you had Tipper Gore and Focus on the Family, her whole organization.
Oh, yeah, Tipper Gore, right.
Al Gore's wife. You had that whole organization. Then you had the little guy, Jack Thompson, running around
Gables.
Here. The Carl Gables lawyer. And everywhere we
you
would
You even
go,
had, well, you had Governor Martinez.
Martinez, Dan Quayle. Everybody was after us. So they would then call these different municipalities where we were performing at, and they would talk to the prosecutor and the police chief. So when we would go to these places, they would automatically, now, again, you have a federal judge just deemed the record obscene, and, you know, now it was deemed obscene, and then we get it overturned. But they played like they didn't know. So if you do these lyrics, we're gonna put you in jail. We're gonna put you in jail. So they were standing on the side of the stage, and I remember one time being in Jacksonville. I said, "You know what? We had pyrotechnicians in the show. I said, don't just make a bomb, just make a burst where everybody is temporarily blind. So every night we would temporarily blind everybody. I would then say." This to the police, I hate the police, and y'all ain't put me in jail. I would antagonize them, and then we'll blow up the thing, cut the lights off. I'm jumping in the audience, taking my shirt off, and hopping in people's car who I don't even know. It was some amazing stories.
We're speaking with Luther Campbell, and of course, his music was at the center of a landmark Supreme Court decision. He was the leader, frontman of Two Live Crew, but he's a mentor, philanthropist, football coach, and more. He's written the Book of Luke. We'll be right back. And thanks for joining us for Topical Currents, as you maybe do every day. Bonnie Berman with Peter J. It's our fall fundraiser. I bet you know that. And we're trying to shorten it. We're trying to end it a day early, which would be today at 7 instead of tomorrow at 7. So we're encouraging you, if you're a listener of Topical Currents, to support it with your contribution at 866-247-9576 or visit WLRN.org.
I feel like I'm reliving a part of South Florida history.
You are listening with Luther Campbell.
It was some sensation at the time. And as always, when you get into the nuance of a personality and a character, you find out a lot that you didn't know or didn't think was possible or was a part of their personal makeup. So this is really fun today. I'm enjoying it. And you know something, Bonnie, I just want to take a second and thank everybody who's contributed so far, because there may be a lot of folks out there, like 2,000 plus folks, who said, hey, I did my part.
2,200.
Yeah. So, you know, why are you still saying this? Well, the fact remains that we have, during the course of a week, about 350,000 listeners. Of those, we have 2,200 who have contributed so far. So you get the picture. There's a vast mine out there of unharvested contributions and unturned members so far that we need to get involved in the process here. If you are among them, there's no shame involved. We're all procrastinators here, I think, at WLRN at one time or another. But if you really would like to get involved, this is a great time to do it. We've got a lot of incentives. We'll get to those in a second. Right now, the phone number is 866-247-9576, 866-247-WLRN. You can join us online in a couple minutes. No one will know you're working on your computer and making a contribution at WLRN at WLRN.org. Just look for the red donate button up there.
Would love to hear from you. For your pledge of $120 or more, or just $10 a month on our sustainer plan, which we encourage you to become a monthly sustainer, you can pick up this book that we're talking about, which is The Book of Luke, My Fight for Truth, Justice, and Liberty City. It's his biography. It tells how he invented Southern hip-hop. He saved the First Amendment, became a role model for the disenfranchised Miami neighborhood, and works with them today, still works with that Optimist Club, and coaches football at Norland. Mm. He wants to give back. He also had that parody case, the copyright use case, that went to the Supreme Court. So he's done a lot of stuff. He's an interesting man, I must tell you. Pick up a copy of the book for $120 or $10 a month on our sustainer plan at 866-247-9576 or online WLRN.org.
Giving back, that's a phrase you hear a lot these days. And of course, it really is an essential part of humanity, of being human, being humane, giving back to those who have given to you. And that's basically what we're asking for from listeners today. We have given you everything in our power to give in terms of quality news and information, entertainment, music, programming. What we'd like to get back from you right now is a little show of support. And we're not dictating to you or suggesting to you how much that should involve in terms of a financial contribution. We expect that you can look at your budget and decide that. But we do want to remind you that $5 a month is a perfectly fine starting place. And I think most of you listening right now could afford that. We also want to invite you to have lunch with Joe and Bonnie right here in the WLRN studios, and then watch Topical Currents happening live from the control room, or maybe even from the studio next to Joe and Bonnie. It's pretty exciting. It's fun. I've been doing this thing for 25 years here at WLRN, and it's still fun doing radio. You can be part of it right here in the studio. That is for a pledge of $250. We will welcome your contribution. We will welcome you here with open arms. You're going to have a ball. 866-247-9576, WLRN.org.
Thank you, Michael, in Pompano Beach. And I hope you'll have lunch with us. Gail in Key West. Carolyn in Gulfstream. Horace in Boca Raton. Thanks so much for stepping up and supporting local programs on WLRN. Again, pick up the Book of Luke by Luther Campbell, his biography. A memoir, really, about his struggles and his battles. And it's a really interesting read for $120 or more, or just $10 a month on our sustainer plan. If that doesn't fit your budget, $5 a month. Let us hear from you, 866-247-9576. We're going back to our conversation with Luther Campbell. We encourage you to continue to make your pledges online, WLRN.org.
Deering Estate celebrates 30 years of being on the National Register of Historic Places. You can discover more of the Deering Estate with history, art, science, and conservation all in one place. More information at deeringestate.org.
AvMed, a South Florida company providing health plans to individuals, families, and businesses. AvMed is headquartered in Florida. AvMed has regional offices throughout the state. And AvMed has been part of the South Florida healthcare community for more than 45 years. To learn more about AvMed's Florida-focused health plans and the personalized, localized service behind them, information is online at avmed.org. That's avmed.org.
Palm Beach Staffing is a family-owned, private-duty home health agency providing home health care since 1988. Palm Beach Staffing, keeping the door to independence open. You can speak with a staff member by calling 561-433-9666.
You can't stand to see a brother get as rich as you. This is the 90s and we're coming on strong, saying things and doing things that you're saying's wrong. Rising up, because on election day, we'll see who's banned in the USA.
All right, and that was Banned in the USA, of course, taken from Bruce Springsteen's song by Luther Campbell. And in fact, Luther, who we're speaking to, who's written the Book of Luke, My Fight for Truth, Justice, and Liberty City, tell us about that night when you performed that. You said it was like a really, really one of your finest moments when you appeared at the MTV Music Video Awards in 1990 and you sang that.
It was like the world, the weight of the world was lifted. I was able to be able to, you know, because during those times, you know, MTV, BET, those networks of the world was not playing Two Live Crew. And so, you know, we had the opportunity to be able to perform. At that time, we had them basically won every case that we fought. And it was like a moment to let the world know we were banned in the USA. A lot of it was inspired by the fact that we would travel to Europe and we would travel to Japan and different countries, and people in those countries thought it was crazy what was happening to us. So they embraced us like nobody else did. So that's when the concept of the song came to my mind, was like, we're actually banned in the USA. That's when I came up with the idea. So during that concert, you know, I cried the whole time when we performed, and everybody in that room basically felt the same thing. And you know, and guys started coming on stage because they felt it. You know, and at that point was the moving point of the industry now supporting us, because you'd have guys like MC Hammer jump on stage. You had Flavor Flav from Public Enemy jumped on stage at that moment. That was a serious moment for us at the time.
Now, during that Tipper Gore business, you said right up front that you had no problem with parental advisory stickers.
And you put
on
those
your
stickers.
Records.
You were the first person to do that. You did two versions, right?
Yes, you know, because we were, I was, you know, my whole thing, the intent was not to have the music go to kids. And when the music started getting to kids, because when we made an adult version of the song, everybody in this room is aware of FCC rules and regulations and what you can say on the air and what you can't say on the air. You know, and so I know that music wasn't going on the air, so then it wasn't going to be given to the masses of kids. I never seen this music being played at a kid's skating ring, bar mitzvah, dance. I never imagined that.
I bet the young Luther would have found a way to get that adult version, though.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Exactly.
I think so. Even if you weren't 18.
Right, yeah. When the big brother was playing it in the room. But again, you know, so when I did get a letter, and I talk about it in the book, when I got a letter from the PTA of Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, and they sent me a letter. They said, the kids are getting the song. What can you do? You know, and at that moment I said, look, let me create two different versions. And then I went as far as creating that sticker that you see on the records right now today. So I got parent programs coming, saying something, and then still, even with that, that did not satisfy them. You know, because they were getting so much momentum, you know, and it was a big topic, and I became, you know, to use me in an election. If you'll raise more money by saying I'm going out to the Two Live Crew,
and they were even
political.
They were even arresting record store owners. They had to go to jail.
Yeah, they started
for selling it.
Exactly. When the federal judge Gonzalez deemed the song obscene, you had stores in San Antonio said no. Stores in Alabama said no. Stores in Fort Lauderdale, Freedman said no. You know, and there were some people that just stood up and said, look, this ain't right. This is unconstitutional. We're willing to go to jail. And people were willing to go to jail. They went to jail. And the same thing with me. I said, look, I'm going to jail. Book me a club right around the corner from the courthouse that just said the song was obscene. We're going to go and perform in Navarro. You can do what you got to do. You know, you can put us in jail.
Did you ever have a personal conversation with Nick Navarro?
Not really.
I have something a little serious. You know, yesterday was 1 year after Ferguson and Michael Brown. And you, in your book, talk a lot about Arthur McDuffie. And that was 35 years ago. Right up the street. Mm-hmm. And here, we had more violence last night with law enforcement. Do you think things have changed much since Arthur McDuffie and...
I don't think things have changed that drastically, you know, because like I talk about in the book, I was raised up by my dad, my mom, and my uncle.
Talk about your Uncle Ricky.
And my Uncle Ricky would tell me the stories of things that would happen to him as one of the only black contractors in Miami in the 50s and the 60s, you know, and how he was disenfranchised and how he ended up going to jail because he was profiled, and how blacks obviously then were getting lynched, and the stories of you know, them bringing the police from Georgia, who had real serious problems with African-Americans in Georgia, they even made them the police in Miami so that they could commit those same lynching crimes against the people of Miami back then. So when you look at everything that's going on today, you know, you look at things when I grew up, you know, we sitting out there, you know, we're riding the same thing that police did to me and people who I grew up with. It's the same thing that's going on right now. I don't say all police are bad police. It's always a few bad apples, but my biggest issue is, you know, with people in the African-American community. We don't get upset when there's black-on-black crime in our community. It's more black-on-black crime, us killing each other.
Right.
And nobody wants to tell. Then there's no snitching. You know, so we got to get our own community together first. And then, okay, fine, we deal with the police at the same time, but all around it's just too much. And it needs to be addressed, and it needs to stop.
I think we only have a couple of minutes left, so let's end on an optimistic note. You're coaching, Norm,
yes.
Okay, which is your love, coaching football. Tell us
Central
about...
Central High School, right?
Miami-Norland. Yeah, okay. I started my high school career at Central.
Right. Oh, at Central, that's right.
At Central, then I went to Miami-Northwest, and I got a job with the great Billy Rowe. He asked me to be the defense coordinator over there. He basically got fired, so, you know, I stayed another year, and I left eventually, and now I'm at Miami-Norland, helping the kids out over there. But the most proud of thing that I am proud of is my youth program that I founded with Sam Johnson, Liberty City Optimist, that this year is our 25th year. And we have some great kids from Duke Johnson to Devontae Freeman to Chad Johnson. You name it. We've had some great kids that came
Where's
out
Darrell
of the program.
Where's Darrell Eskridge?
He's playing for the New York Jets.
He is?
Yeah.
And he came right out of your program.
Yeah, the one who I'm proud of the most is the Commissioner Keon Hardiman, because
okay.
he came out
and
of
I want
program
you to talk,
as well.
Okay, and he is a city commissioner now, and he just did something with Charles Hadley Park.
I mean, he's doing so many great things in the neighborhood. He wasn't put in by the special interest groups. He was put in by us going out, you know, going door to door. So we have a new youth center, $6.5 million center, putting a gymnasium on Hadley Park, you know, revitalizing the senior citizen home. So he's doing some great things in the community.
Which you've wanted to do for a long time with that
yes,
Hadley
yes,
Park.
Yes.
That was the only safe place in Liberty City for a
exactly.
long time.
Exactly.
Well, we're almost out of time.
Well, it's too bad that we're almost
out
of time.
Paul,
when we're
fun.
Going out, can we hear Band in the USA again? Okay.
Oh, don't get up and dance now.
I'm almost doing it. You're not. We'll do it together. Okay, Luther Campbell, mentor, philanthropist, football coach. He's a columnist for the Miami New Times. And he mentors in Liberty City and coaches with his Liberty City Optimist program and coaches football at Norland High School. And his book is The Book of Luke, My Fight for Truth, Justice, and Liberty City, and it's a great book. And thank you so much, Luther, for being with us.
Thank you.
We have the freedom of choice, and you, Chinese, black, green, purple, Jew, you have the right to listen to whoever you want to, and even the Two Live Crew.
So what we're listening to, actually, which he talked about, is Bruce Springsteen let him take his song Born in the USA and do what he wanted to it, which was banned in the USA. And I wish we could listen to more of it, but we need to tell you that it's our fall fundraiser, and we need your contributions at 866-247-9576. 866-247-9576. Online, it's WLRN.org. Bonnie Berman with Peter J. Pick up a copy of this book if you're interested in having your eyes opened about Luther Campbell. The Book of Luke, My Fight for Truth, Justice, and Liberty City, for your $120 pledge or just $10 a month on our sustainer plan. 866-247-9576.
We are doing everything in our power to support the programs here on WLRN and support topical currents, local regional programming, our WLRN, Miami Herald News Department, the parts of WLRN that really bring it home, that really offer a sense of place about where we live. And of course, Luther Campbell was an essential part of South Florida and had a lot of impact in this area and beyond for a lot of reasons. But we want you to have some impact right now. We want you to reach out and support Topical Currents, the work that Bonnie and Joe do with a skeleton crew here, which is basically them and producers Richard Ive and Polly Landis. National programs like Fresh Air or the Diane Rehm Show have legions of producers, writers, directors,
yes.
editors. We have basically four folks involved in this effort, 4 days a week, bringing you news, information, and enlightenment about and in South Florida. Is that important to you? Is it important enough for you to join the others who have pledged this hour and to help us get to our goal? We are trying so hard to do this early. We want to get out of here. We want to get back to programming as usual. You don't like listening to us. We don't like having to do this, but we know we need to. It's essential because listener support is the most essential part of our funding structure here at WLRN. Okay, enough preaching. Here's the phone number, 866-247-9576. 866-247-WLRN or online. The pledge line is WLRN.org.
And again, we will offer you this book. Of course, you can give anything that fits your budget, whether that's $5 a month, $100 a month, or something in between. But to pick up a copy of the Book of Luke, My Fight for Truth, Justice, and Liberty City, I mean, he's from this area. So it was great for him to come home to actually talk about the book. from his book tour. So mm-hmm. it's a great story. It's a great read. I really recommend it. It's $120 or $10 a month on our sustainer plan. And it's 866-247-9576. Pick it up online, WLRN.org.
And you know what? You can have lunch with Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, the hosts of this program, Topical Currents, and you can watch the show being produced live. You and a guest can have lunch at the WLRN studios here with Joe and Bonnie. Watch Topical Currents from the control room or maybe even in the studio. And the quantity is unlimited, so we welcome one and all. That's for a $250 pledge of support to WLRN. Is Topical Currents worth supporting? You know it is. So if $5 a month works for you, that's great. If it's $100 a month, that's terrific. If it's $250, a one-time gift to join Joe and Bonnie, works for us too. 866-247-9576, WLRN.org.
WLRN.org. Pick up the book, $120 or $10 a month.
Some 125,000 visually impaired adults live in Broward County, one of the highest rates in the nation. For over 43 years, Lighthouse of Broward has served the blind and visually impaired community at no charge. To learn, volunteer, donate, and change a life, visit LHOB.org.
You can dance, drink, and be spooked within the Gilded Age estate of Vizcaya Museum and Gardens at Vizcaya's 29th annual Halloween Sundowner Party, Friday, October 30th. The Halloween extravaganza will feature live music with Spam All-Stars and DJ A-Train, an outrageous costume contest, open bars, food, and so much more. Costumes, alluring entertainment with Bayfront live music, and dancing until midnight. Ticket options and details are available at VizcayaHalloween.org.
And that is today's Topical Currents. Our rebroadcast of the Luther Campbell interview was edited by Jason Zapka. Thank you, Jason, and engineered by Paul Leary. It was produced by Richard Ives with technical direction from Michael Stock. We have free audio archives and downloads, as always, at our website, WLRN.org, and more information at the Topical Currents Facebook page, facebook.com/topicalcurrents. Join us for tomorrow's program when we present chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer's Food and Dining. It's a retrospective of 17 years of broadcasts on Topical Currents. Also, columnist Fred Tasker, Joseph Cooper, and me. Okay, our pledge lines, they're still open. Guess what? 866-247-9576. 866-247-9576. Online, WLRN.org. Again, Luther Campbell, The Book of Luke, My Fight for Truth, Justice, and Liberty City, yours for $10 a month, or a one-time gift of $120, and lunch
with Joe and Bonnie for a one-time gift of $250.
866-247-9576. Looking to raise $128,000 so we can get you back to uninterrupted programming. That is our goal.
That's right. We started off at $450,000. We've made some great progress. We've got some hard work to do, but it'll be work that'll pay off big dividends when you get your programming back.
That's right. And it's all in your hands. Thank you, Naomi in Delray Beach, Esteban in Hollandale, Lois in Miami, Carolina, Miami, Andrew, Miami Beach, Renee in Fort Lauderdale. Thank you all who've called during the program and shown your support for regional and local programming. William and Carl Gables, Paola in, is that Alaska or Arkansas? What's AK?
AK is Alaska.
Well, okay, Paola, thank you.
Stay warm.
Stay warm, that's right. Come visit 866-247-9576 to make your contributions. We still can hear from you. You can still pick up the book for $120 pledge or $10 a month or anything else and anything that meets your budget. 866-247-9576, WLRN.org. Thanks for helping me out, Peter.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Stay tuned for Here and Now. Up next, for Joseph Cooper, it's Bonnie Berman. Stay tuned for Here and Now. Up next from NPR News.